This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
Welcome to The Real Reel, where we go behind the highlight reel and go into the unfiltered. I'm your host, Natalie Barbu, and let's get into it. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Real Reel podcast with me, Natalie Barbu. And today I am recording out of my office, and it's a solo episode out of my office. I actually love this chair. This is like a great podcasting chair. I have my Zoom recorder here, my camera right in front of me. We have a window now in our office, so the natural light is hitting, and it is just super, super comfy. And when I'm recording on my bed, I have to be like sitting up straight, where here I can kind of just lean back. And my dream, I know I've said this before, but my dream is to have a podcast studio. Like, I want to make my own studio with everything set up already. I don't have to take things down, don't have to bring things up. Like, I just turn the camera on and hit record. That is my dream. And I want to have multiple cameras so we can get multiple angles. I'm going to do that by the end of this year at some point. I really would love this podcast to like take off, skyrocket, and I am really trying. So I hope that you guys notice that. If there's any feedback though, would love to hear it in the comments, sound off, or DM me. But anyways, this episode is really special because it is my 28th birthday. And I'm not recording on my 28th birthday. I am recording a little before. But when you guys hear this, you'll be listening to this when it comes out April 15th. My birthday's April 16th. So it's the 28th birthday episode. I might as well be 28. I'm at that point also where I'm not 28 yet. So when people ask me, how old are you? I'm like, oh, I'm 27. But I'm almost 28. I'm like, do I say 27 or do I say 28? Because I feel like I've been saying I'm 28 for the past like 4 months. Like whenever the new year hits, because I'm an April baby, I just say that I'm whatever age I am turning that year because I feel like it's so close. But it's really not. It's like 4.5 months away. Like I gotta live as a 27-year-old for a lot longer. I feel like I'm cutting my years short because I'm constantly going into the next one. But yeah, I always say that I'm 28. So I've been feeling 28 for a little bit, and 28 and 27 are years where I have felt very old, and I don't know, it's not a negative thing. It's not like I'm sad to be old. I honestly don't wish I was younger. Like, it's not like I'm like, oh man, I wish I was 24, because when I look back at my 24-year-old self, I'm so grateful that I'm not her anymore. And it's so weird, like the different versions of yourself that you see. Like, I can't imagine being 24 again. When I was 24 when COVID hit, which is crazy because that feels like so long ago, and it also feels like yesterday. And I look back at my younger self and I get so emotional because there's so much that she didn't know. There's so much that she's going to go through in the future. There's just like, I literally am tearing up right now. I did not expect this. I don't know. I just think about my younger self and I just like want to take care of her. Does anyone else feel that way about their younger selves? Like, it's not like I've lived this super traumatic life or anything like that, but I have gone through some things and a lot of things that are not shown on social media. So if any of you guys are scratching your head wondering what has she gone through, she hasn't gone through anything, just know that there's a lot that I don't share. But I've just like, I want to just like protect her, you know, and I want her to know that I'm like so proud of her. And I feel like entering my late 20s, approaching 30, I just get nostalgic and I get super emotional looking back at previous years and when I'm younger. And it's just, I don't know, it's a blessing that I'm turning 28. I'm so grateful for another year. I'm so grateful that I'm getting older. I'm so grateful for the wisdom that 28 comes with. But it's also scary because, you know, you are getting older. And I think that for women, but especially just anyone in general, has these expectations of when I turn 30, I want to have accomplished X, Y, and Z. Like, I'm at the age now where I'm 28. And when I was graduating high school, people were asking, where do you see yourself in 10 years? And 10 years when you're 18 seems like forever. Like, it's like, oh my God, I'm going to live so many lives by the time I'm 28. And it's true. I feel like I've lived so many lives. But that doesn't necessarily mean that I've accomplished everything that I accomplished. I remember saying when I was a senior in high school or freshman in college, when people would ask that question, where do you see yourself in 10 years? I would say, I see myself married with a family. And I always said, like, owning my own business, having a successful career. And on those fronts, I've definitely checked off the boxes. But I'm nowhere near getting married or having a baby. Like, I'm very single right now. And obviously things can change in an instant, but we put so much pressure on ourselves. And then I think when we don't reach those milestones or we don't get it, there's a level of disappointment there. And I don't want to go into this year being disappointed. I want to go into this year feeling so grateful that I made it another year around the sun. And so I want to share 28 things that I've learned by the time I'm 28. And this isn't necessarily life lessons. This is just, of course, some of them are, but this is just things that I've learned in my 28 years living. And I'm really excited to share them because I feel like I've never been more confident. I've never been more secure in myself. I feel like I really know my purpose and my calling, as cheesy as that sounds. And I truly, for the first time, honestly ever, feel like I am going the exact direction that I need to be going in. And it really excites me. Like, I feel so confident for the life I have ahead. And that's just really exciting. And I hope everyone listening to this feels that way whenever they turn a year older, because growing up is a blessing and it's a good thing. And we should be growing up and like feeling so happy that we get to be a year older and a year wiser. Like, I would never want to go back to like my 22-year-old self. Like, that would be horrible. Imagine if yourself today went back into your body and into like your life 5 years ago. Like, what would that be like? Like, the choices that you are making, the friends that you had, the relationships that you were in, like, what would that be like? Because especially knowing what you know now, like, it's not like you're just transported back then and you have a mind, you know, your 22-year-old mind. Like, you have your 28-year-old mind, you're going back to your 22-year-old self. How would you feel? Because I would be terrified. And I would be like, okay, get me back out of here. Okay. I have on my phone the 28 things that I've learned, and I'm very excited to share. Of course, I'm using Rella to plan everything out. So let me go. I have it scheduled. I have the title. I have all of my 28 lessons on here, and we're going to go through them one by one because there's a lot of lessons. So not all of them will have a ton of time, but number one, the most important one, is that God is faithful. That has been something that has been evident throughout my entire life. And just especially this past year, I've seen it more than ever. I've seen his faithfulness. I've seen his goodness. I've seen it a lot going through hard times, but I've also seen it going through good times and going through things where I'm like, wow, like, thank you, God. And so it's something that I just want to always remember. And I always have a word of the year. So last year, my word of the year was clarity. I felt very confused and I wanted clarity on a lot of things. And I feel like I truly got it by the end of the year. Like, by the end of the year, I felt like I had a lot of clarity. This year, my word was faithful because I wanted to never forget God's faithfulness and his promises. And I feel like it's just been a constant reminder for me. And time again, he's shown me that. And I've always been a Christian, but I feel like this past year, my faith has grown so much, like an insane amount. And so if you start hearing me talk about it more, that's definitely why. I've always believed it, but I feel like I've truly experienced it this year. And so I'm not going to become like, you know, a faith-based channel or anything like that. My channel will always be lifestyle, but part of my lifestyle is my faith. And so that's definitely like the biggest thing that I've learned this year. And it's just been the greatest like reminder and the greatest lesson. And I hope that I remember it forever.
Let's talk about styling hair, because it is a whole production, especially when you are battling frizz. And take it from me, I live in Miami, Florida. It is about to be summer. I really know frizz, but honestly, I would rather be doing something else, like booking a spontaneous vacation to St. Barts or rewatching the Eras Tour for like the third time. You know, the important stuff. But who actually has time for frizz? Introducing Way's new anti-frizz cream. It is like a superhero for your hair. It provides immediate frizz control that lasts up to 72 hours. I actually brought it on a trip with me and my friend borrowed it and she purchased it right then and there because it was that good. So, how does this fit into my hair routine? It is the best thing I could have done for my hair. I am all about saving time, and the anti-frizz cream does just that. Plus, the Sydney-inspired North Bondi scent is so amazing. You can think bergamot, Italian lemon violet, and more. And as someone who is always concerned about heat damage, because I definitely use a lot of heat on my hair, this anti-frizz cream provides heat protection, which is such a big relief, and my hair feels so much lighter and looks smoother after using it. Get busy being frizz-free with Way's new anti-frizz cream. It's not just about taming frizz. It also provides heat protection up to 450 degrees, reduces and repairs split ends, quenches dry hair with intense hydration, and according to a consumer perception study, 90% of participants agreed that their hair looked less frizzy after using it. I can definitely contest that. And while you're at it, check out Way's other bestsellers like the leave-in conditioner, which I also use, detox shampoo, fragrances, hair oils, and hair gloss. They're all essential for achieving that salon-worthy look at home. So you can frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code RealReal for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com, promo code RealReal.
Number two is that female friendships are so important. I was always the type of person that had individual friends. I've always had friends and always had, you know, girlfriends, but I've also been one of those girls that was like, I love having guy friends and I love being friends with the guys. And in college, I had a boyfriend and I spent all the time with him and I would spend all the time with his friends. So I was very immersed in like a guy friend group in college. I had a ton of guy friends. High school, the same thing. I had a ton of guy friends in high school. Post college, I had, you know, I was also dating someone else and I also was friends with his guy friends. I had some girlfriends, but again, mainly friends with my boyfriend's friends. And I feel like that's usually the case, at least for me it was, when I get a boyfriend or when I'm in a relationship, I become like best friends with their friends. And I usually see that like girls becoming best friends with the guy's friends versus the guy becoming best friends with like the girlfriends. But not to say there's something wrong with that, just an observation. But I've become really close with like all of the people that I've been dating and their friends. And so I've always had really good guy friends. I wouldn't even say good guy friends. I just hung out with them because the second you break up with your boyfriend, they're not your friends anymore, which is to be expected. But anyways, besides the point, I never really had really deep female friendships. I had a couple here and there, but I never prioritized them. I wasn't, you know, I didn't have like super deep girlfriends. And when I became single, I realized that I didn't have super close girlfriends and I was determined to make them. And I was determined to have female friendships because it was something that I was missing. And so one of my goals when I became single was to just develop and deepen friendships. And I can truly say that my friends are my family now. I love them. I have the best group of girlfriends. I don't even have guy friends besides my co-founder here in Miami. And it's just been so special. And their friendship and their relationships have meant so much to me and have gotten me through the toughest times, and their support is great, and just being able to be there for someone and having them be there for you is just like so special. And so if you're a girl listening to this right now and you also, you know, you're in a relationship, you're friends with your boyfriend's friends, you have guy friends, I really encourage you to make your own friends and to have female friendships, because sometimes I feel like my soulmate, quote unquote, is like my best friend. Like, it's not going to be a guy. It's my best friend. And I know that sounds so cheesy, but I feel like there are some girls in my life that are truly sisters to me. And I have sisters, so I know what having sisters feels like. And I truly feel like there are some friendships where they are literally like sisters to me. And I'm just so grateful for that. And I never want to underestimate the power of female friendships. I could do like a whole podcast episode on that. The next one is that love language are important in friendships too. I feel like understanding your friends' love languages is super important to create healthy relationships. So for example, my love language is more just like quality time and acts of service. Not that I expect my friends to do things for me or anything like that, but when a friend does me a favor, like they drive me to the airport or they, you know, pick me up or they grab me a coffee because they know that I'm tired, whatever. That is like means so much to me. And I love doing that to my friends as well. Or same with another thing, for example, is like quality time. Like I'd much rather spend quality time with you and hang out with you and have like meaningful conversations than be texting you all the time. Like I'm not a texter and my friends need to be okay with that and know that that's just not my love language. And so, and I also need to understand my friends' love languages. I think love languages are always talked about in relationships, like romantic relationships, but they could also really be talked about in friendships as well. Number four is that I am fiercely independent, almost to a fault. I feel like I have always been independent, whether I've been in relationships or not, which is thank God, because I know there's a lot of people that lose their independence when they get into relationships. And then when they break up, they, you know, don't know what to do. I'm glad I'm independent, but now that I'm single and independent, I've become even more independent. And it's like almost to a fault. Like, I'm so comfortable being by myself that it like worries me. Like, I'm like, wait, who's going to come into my life and disrupt this? So yeah, I've learned that about myself. So let me know if any of you are also independent and like, what was that like getting into a relationship for the first time? Or not for the first time, but after, you know, being single for a while. The next one is, my favorite thing about myself is my ability to follow through. So I went on a date recently and he had asked me, what was my favorite thing about myself? And I really like that question. I'm going to keep it in my back pocket because I think it's a great question. But my favorite thing about myself is my ability to do things and like go through with them. I have never truly thought, oh my God, I wish I could do blank and not at least like taken a step in that direction and followed through with that feeling. Anytime I have wanted to try something, whether it was writing an ebook or trying acting or, you know, taking tennis lessons or starting a business, starting a YouTube channel, starting a TikTok, starting an agency, starting an online store, literally whatever it was, I follow through with it and I will take the steps to do it. And I think that's also like with my friendships. Like if my friends are like, hey, we need to do a girls trip, I'm the one planning it. I'm like, okay, let's do it. Like, let's stop talking about it and let's put pen to paper. Let's start booking trips. Let's start booking flights. Give me your credit card. Like, let's get this done. And I think that I am very adventurous and loyal and I follow through with things in all aspects of my life. And I love that about myself. And I think it's a really good question to ask yourself, like, what is your favorite thing about yourself? Number six is, time heals a broken heart. I have gone through the worst breakup of hopefully my life over a year and a half ago, and I am fully healed from it. And I know that it's because of timing. Like, I know that time heals. It feels like you are literally dying when you're going through it. And then you look back a year later, a year and a half later, and you're okay and you're happy and you have an amazing life. And time really just does heal. Number seven is, one of the weirdest feelings in the world is knowing that there is a stranger out there that has seen every part of you. If you can't tell, as I was like thinking about breakups, and that one came to mind as I was jotting these down. But yeah, how weird is that? How weird is it that someone has seen literally every part of you, physically, emotionally, mentally? Like, there's someone out there that has literally seen all of me, has seen me at my lowest, has seen me at my highest, has seen me cry, has seen me angry, has seen me happy, has seen me in love. You know, like, they've seen it all, and now we don't speak. That's unsettling to me. That is very unsettling to me, but that's also life. Number eight is, your family are the people that care about you the most. I feel like my relationship with my family has gone through ups and downs, if I'm being totally honest. I think that's normal. I think if you haven't, then wow, you're like an anomaly. There's been times when I've been closer with my parents. There's been times that I haven't been as close with my parents. Same with my siblings. And I'm at the point now where I realize that I know that there's no one else on this earth that will care about me and care and want the best for me more than my family. And I'm just really grateful for that. And I know that that's not the case for everyone. I know that not everyone's family is the same way, but for a lot of people, we push away our family and we think that we know better and we think that they, you know, just don't understand us. And I've realized that that's just a lie, and that they care for us and that they really, really do care. And of course, I know that there's exceptions to this, but for me, that's definitely one thing that I've learned. Number nine is that there are a lot better ways to spend your weekend than drinking and going out to a bar. I feel like literally a switch went off in my head and I'm like, I don't want to drink anymore. I don't want to get drunk. Like, of course I'll drink like cocktails and like, you know, a glass of wine and here and there, but I'm not like getting, like, I used to like take shots and pregame, you know, before going out, and I wanted to be like drunk by the time I got to the bar. And that just like doesn't sound fun to me anymore. Like, bars don't sound fun to me. I'd much rather go to like a cute little restaurant or a lounge or something like that. And I think that's just like a part of getting older. And then also number 10 following that is that hangovers are the worst and can be a form of torture. I never want to feel hungover again. Like, that sounds awful. I literally never want to feel hungover again. And hopefully I can follow through with that. Number 11 is that your relationship with Jesus is the most important relationship in your life. I think it's funny to kind of go after the hangover one, but it's true. It's definitely something that I've learned. And like I said, my faith has become so much more important to me lately. My relationship with Jesus is by far the most important relationship I will have in my life. It brings me peace. It brings me joy. It eases my anxiety. I was meeting someone the other day and he asked me, why am I so happy? I've never been asked that before. I don't think of myself as someone that is like exuding happiness. I feel like I'm very mellow and I'm very like stoic. And honestly, I kind of have resting bitch face if I'm being honest. So that question is not a question that I get asked often. And he was like, you're just very smiley and like, you're very happy and you're a founder. So most founders are on edge and very anxious and jittery, you know, like, why are you so happy? And I was like, okay, this is my time to share. And I told him, I was like, truthfully, it's because of my faith. Like my faith is the reason why I don't have this anxiety anymore. I don't have, you know, this fear and I have so much joy. And I know that it's because of my relationship with Jesus and I'm so, so grateful for it. Number 12, there are a lot scarier things in life than being single. When I broke up with my boyfriend, I hadn't been single in 10 years. I went from relationship to relationship. That specific one lasted 4 years and I was terrified of being single. I didn't know how I would act. I didn't know what I would do. I didn't know who I would meet. Like, how was I going to be single? I was scared of losing my best friend. And I'm telling you, there are scarier things in life. Being single is truly a really great time in your life. And if you look at it as that, as like, this is a small time in your life, I always look at it as like, okay, let's say these 2, 3 years, 4 years, however long it's going to be, I'm going to be single. I will be married to the person that I'm going to be with, hopefully for the rest of my life. So for the next however long, I will not be single. These 3 years, 2 years, 1 year, whatever it is, are the only years that I have of being single. And that should be exciting because there's so much that you learn about yourself. There's so many areas that you grow in when you're single. And I'm honestly viewing this as like such an exciting time. Number 13, set your standards high. You do not want to settle. Sometimes people will tell me that my standards are too high, and there's a difference between having your standards be high and being like having unrealistic expectations and being too nitpicky and like critiquing everything someone does. I don't want to critique something that, you know, every single man that I interact with does. I'm trying to get better at that. I made a TikTok about that, how like I get the ick super easily and I kind of need to not. But I also want to make sure that my standards are high and I'm not going to settle just because I've hit a certain age or because I've been single for a certain amount of time. Your standards are most likely not unrealistic. You just haven't met the person that meets them yet, and you will. And I think you know deep down if it's unrealistic or not. Like, my standards are qualities that I look for in someone. It's not necessarily like looks or, you know, things that can be changed. And it's really just like character qualities that I look for in someone. And I'm not going to settle with that. Number 14 is contentment is the key to happiness. I feel like not enough people talk about this, but people always talk about comparison being the thief of joy, but I actually think the opposite of that, which is true, is contentment is the key to happiness. If you are not content with your life, and I'm not saying your life is perfect, but if you are not content with where you're living, with what your job is, with what you do, and you're constantly looking for the next thing, or you're constantly comparing yourself, you will not be happy. You have to be content in the moment and in the stage that you're in. If you are single, be content in being single, like I said, because this is an exciting time. If you are dating, be content dating and not looking forward to the engagement and the marriage. Of course, like, be excited for it, but don't not enjoy dating because you're looking forward for the engagement. Or if you're engaged, don't not enjoy being engaged because you're looking to the wedding. Or when you're getting married, don't not be content when you're married because you're eager for kids. Like, enjoy the moment that you're in. And I promise you, I think that is the key to happiness. Number 15 is transforming jealousy to inspiration can change your life. I've talked about this before, but the way that I view like my feelings, or the way that I've kind of like shifted my feelings of jealousy, is by shifting it and saying that jealousy is actually, instead of saying, oh, I'm jealous, like, look at what this person has, I'm so jealous of them, I want what they have, I now look at it as, oh, if they could do that, then I could do that. And I use it as a source of inspiration rather than being jealous and like envious and making myself feel less than because of it. Number 16 is that anyone can literally do anything. If you want to listen to a video about or a podcast about this, listen to my motivation one. But it pretty much like talks about how I've never felt like I couldn't do something. I've never felt that I couldn't be a founder, couldn't be a YouTuber, couldn't be a creator, couldn't do anything. Like, I truly think if I ran for office or wanted to become a politician, I could do it. If I wanted to become an actress, I could do it. Give me enough time and I can do it. I'm not saying I'm going to be the best. I don't necessarily think I'm going to be the next Taylor Swift. But I think if you put me in singing lessons and I practice enough and I get with the right people and the right producers and whatever, I can become a singer. I'm not saying I'm going to become a mega pop star, but I can put some songs out on Spotify. And I just always had that mentality. And I think that, like, anybody can. And I'm not saying me. Like, I'm nothing special. I think that anybody can do anything as long as they put time and work for it and follow through with it. Number 17, finding friendships with similar values to you is more important the older you get. When you're younger, you're friends with your school friends. You're friends with the people that go to your high school, college. Maybe when you get older, you start becoming friends with coworkers, but that starts dwindling down. I think as you get older, you start realizing that people with similar values to you matter a lot more, and that's why friendships kind of disappear. I have not necessarily lost friendships. There was never a friendship breakup, but I have, you know, grown distant from people because we don't share the same values, and that's okay. They're going to find people that relate more to them. You're going to find people that relate more to you. And I don't think that we need to hold on to everything. Like, I think there's that quote that's like, some friends are there for a season, for a reason, and for a lifetime or something like that. And I totally agree with that. Like, not every friendship is going to make it the distance. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. Number 18, I am an encourager. And I think that is one of my gifts. When I was talking earlier about my calling and my purpose, I truly think that I was put on this earth to like encourage and motivate people, not to be like a motivational speaker or anything like that. But I think I've been given a platform to encourage people to, you know, chase after their dreams, follow their curiosities, you know, do things that might be a little scarier. And I also think I was made to do that for my friends and for my family. I feel like I'm a huge encourager. I have that gift and I am using my platform to hopefully do that. And so I hope that you guys like this podcast and I hope that this podcast is doing that for you. Number 19 is, the older that I get, the more I realize I have a type. Let's be honest, we all have types. My previous relationships, I don't think I had a type. But as I've gotten older, I think I've become more picky. I definitely could say I have settled in previous relationships, specifically my first two. I don't know what I was doing. You know, my last relationship, I think, taught me a lot. And he's an amazing person. And so I don't want to say that I settled with that because I don't think I did. I think he like really laid the groundwork for me. And so for me now, moving forward, I feel like I definitely have a type. Like, I like a certain type of person. And yes, I have a type looks-wise, kind of, but I think mostly I have a type in terms of personality and what they do for a job and just like the type of person that they are. And, you know, I think that's okay. I don't think that you have to like be so rigid in your type that you don't explore outside of it, but I also think it's fine and people have preferences. Number 20. I am happiest when I'm by the ocean. Moving to Miami definitely made me realize that, but I gravitate towards cities that have an ocean view. And yeah, I'm just so happy when I'm outside and by the ocean. Number 21, sometimes all you need is to walk outside and be off your phone. We live our lives on our phones. Majority of our day is spent glued to our phones. Majority of what is in front of us, like in front of our eyeballs, is the screen. And so sometimes you just need to unplug and listen to a podcast. So have something in your ear, but don't have something like right in front of you. Go outside, literally touch grass, be in nature, go for a walk, and like look ahead longer than a foot, you know, because our phones are like right in front of our faces or our computer screens or whatever it is. Go outside and look what is ahead of you for a mile. What's, you know, 200 feet in front of you, like whatever it is. And sometimes that is literally all you need. Number 22 is, people who ask questions are my favorite type of people. I think because I am a podcaster and I also just am such a curious person, I love when people ask questions and I notice it. I always notice the type of questions people ask. And that's like my biggest thing when I'm going on a date, is if they ask questions. I like notice all the questions that they ask. I notice the type of questions that they ask. And it's so important for me. And I think it tells me a lot about you, about the type of questions and how many questions you ask. And I've just noticed that for me personally, people that ask a lot of questions are my favorite types of people. Number 23, I am the world's worst texter. It has taken me 28 years to learn this, but I am. If I don't respond to you, it is nothing personal. I don't respond to anyone. I don't know how to get better at this. I have tried putting in systems. I have tried putting in reminders. I have tried, you know, time blocking time. I physically can't. I don't know why. Maybe because I'm on my phone literally 24/7. And so I don't want to like get out of the zone like when I'm working on my phone. And so responding to a text gets me out of that zone. And then when I'm done working, I don't want to be on my phone anymore. So I don't want to like answer texts. Like, how do you combat this? Or do you just accept it? Do I just accept my fate that I'm a bad texter? I don't know. I am like the world's worst texter. It's actually awful. Number 24, you cannot always do everything alone. I think that having a team, having your support system is so, so, so important. And it's definitely taken me a long time to learn this, but I don't want to do everything on my own. I don't think it's fun. Anyways, number 25, you do not need that designer bag. I don't really purchase designer items anymore unless they're thrifted and they're like pretty inexpensive. I cannot justify spending thousands of dollars on an item. Like, I just can't. Besides technology, I cannot justify spending thousands of dollars on an item. And so I just won't. I refuse to. I will spend thousands of dollars on a plane ticket, but I will not spend it on like designer items anymore. Number 26, that leads me to spending money on travel is money well spent. I've never regretted buying a plane ticket. I've never regretted spending a night at a hotel that I love. I've never regretted like taking the trip. It's always been my best memories and it's literally shaped the person that I am getting ready or being able to travel. And so I think spending money on travel is the best way that anyone can spend their money. Number 27, being curious will get you really far. So never stop learning and asking questions. I think I've always heard of the quote, follow your curiosities, not your dreams. And I don't know if that's the exact quote, but it's pretty much saying like to follow your curiosity instead. Your curiosity is going to lead you to what you're meant to be doing. You are curious about something for a reason. Look into it, pull the needle or pull the thread, keep pulling on the thread, and it's gonna like unravel something bigger. I never wanna stop learning. I never wanna be the smartest person in the room. I never want to stop being curious. I always want to learn about random topics and random things, and I always wanna follow through with them. And I always wanna ask questions. So I hope to take that with me for the rest of my life. And the last one, number 28. Your 20s are actually amazing. Like, so much happens in your 20s. Think back to every single year of your 20s. At age 20, you are halfway in college. 21, you're able to drink and go out for the first time. 22, you're graduating college. You're entering the real world. 23, first year in the real world. 24, starting to get used to it. It's an adjustment. For me, it was COVID. 25, you're kind of hitting your quarter life crisis. You're like, oh my goodness, I'm 25. I'm so old. And then 26, 27, 28, you're entering your late 20s. Some people are getting married. Some people are having kids. Like, so much happens in your 20s. Your friendships are deepening. Your relationships are becoming more serious. It's just like truly the best. And I mean, I know people say your 30s are even better, but like, I don't know how it gets better than this because I love my 20s. And it's because of the personal growth. And I'm just like, I don't know why I'm so emotional today. I'm like, I've almost cried a multitude of times today. I'm also on the last day of my period. So, you know, that very well could be it. But I just love my 20s. And I'm so grateful for my life and like everything that I've learned. So, yeah. Thank you guys so much for listening to this podcast. I hope that this was encouraging. I hope that you guys learned something from this. I'd love to know what you've learned so far too, regardless of how old you are, and leave it in the comments. If you guys do like this episode, please share it. And yeah, my birthday is April 16th. So if we share the same birthday, anyone, let me know. But thank you guys so much for listening. I cannot wait for 29 and 30 and the years to come. I love you guys so much and I will see you guys next time. Bye guys.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of The Real Real. I hope that you enjoyed, and don't forget to rate, review, follow, or subscribe on your favorite podcast app. You can follow me personally on Instagram at Natalie Barbu and the podcast at The Real Real Podcast. I'll see you next Monday.
Hey there, my name is Renee Rina, and I am the mom friend you have always wanted. I am also the host of the Mom Room podcast. We publish 2 episodes per week, a co-hosted episode on Tuesdays and a solo episode on Thursdays. Popular topics include pooping and having sex after giving birth. I have a solo episode where I talk about not sharing a bed with my husband and why that's okay. I hope you'll tune in to these conversations every week. Join us on Instagram at the Mom Room Podcast and start to feel a little less alone in this crazy thing called motherhood.